up. I mean, I had a few messages from members about your Walter Cronkite.
Oh yeah,
laugh from last episode.
Yeah,
they were liking it.
They like it.
You know, I gotta say, members that are listening right now, yeah, you have a sense of humor.
Yeah, they do.
You know, it's funny. I don't know if people have noticed this, but people that listen to the full episode versus the social media clips, maybe some of them listen to both. I don't know, but I try to drip in a couple jokes in the social media clips just for my own enjoyment, to see if anyone picks up on it.
Yeah.
Most of the time, no.
No way.
Most of the time. The odd time we'll get a comment where someone, like, they heard it or they got the joke or whatever, but I just do it for my own entertainment just to see if anybody can pick up on it.
Yep.
Because there's so many subtleties to your sense of humor.
Oh, there's so many layers.
So many. It's great. Okay. Do you got anything you want to say before I...
No, you'd probably have to get me going on something.
There are so many things. I didn't know if maybe you had something. That's why I like asking you first before I just start yapping.
I'll just say you want to just talk. Like, the only thing that's on my mind ever is I love the OHL.
Yeah, I know that.
I love it.
I know.
I love it. And you were at a game the other day and you loved it.
I did. I loved it.
Because we have interest in it, but like we have assets in it. But it's just, I love it. I love it. I love traveling around. I love, like, it's great, like, in the position of my life right now. I get to I don't really miss games ever. And honestly, it's cliche. Is it cliche or a cliche? Not one word, but
depends on what you say next.
Yeah, like I find when someone says it's cliche, I don't like how that goes. I think it floats better if it sounds like a cliche.
I think a cliche would be something that's like a something that people say frequently.
Oh.
That would be like, that is a cliche. But if you say something that could be interpreted as, you know, something people say, then you would just say it might sound cliche. I feel like that's kind of the difference. Yeah. Nonetheless.
I like using the letter A in front of me.
Yeah, go ahead. Whatever you like.
So like not a lot of people, but I talk to people, you're going to this game, and they go, wow, you go to a lot of games. I'm like, you don't even understand how fast this goes. How quickly this goes.
So here's a question.
Yeah, shoot.
Do you think that, so for me personally, I like working with the kids. So up to about 20, maybe like 22 or so, from like 13, let's say 13 to like 22, like that age, I think that's my favorite.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't had the experience of working on like through you working with pros, but I haven't had the experience of on my own working with a lot of pros. So I don't know if that would change like what my favorite group is to work with, but I've worked with the young guys. I've worked with the middle guys. I've worked with the higher end junior guys. And then with the pro guys, I don't see myself liking it as much as I like that 13 to like 20 range, or even maybe a little older, 15 to 22, something like that. Do you think that if you start to get more into pro, for example, if you have stake in it, like if Charlie was to play pro, or not even necessarily NHL, but just pro, do you think like if he was playing in the East Coast that you would all of a sudden love the East Coast? Or do you think do you think this is the high of enjoying the game, or do you think you would enjoy it more the next level? Not sure.
I'm pretty sure. I think that, and the reason I'll tell you the reason behind it is you still could be a dad. Like for me, it could still be a dad. So with working with pros and like it's a different world because it's a job now, and I feel like as a coach. Not a hockey coach, a skills coach, and a like a strength trainer yourself. I think we're built for that for up until like the 20. I've done my work with the pros and I enjoyed it, but it's a different world. And I feel, and I could be wrong, but I think it's just the way I'm wired, and maybe you, is that there's like you know your strengths, right? And my strengths going to with someone up until about 20 years old or before they turn pro is that I feel like I have I can have a very good influence on them because it's not just a job. They're still malleable. You could still that would be the thing. So like now as a dad watching the hockey, I feel there's similarities to that because in the OHL in college. Like, so if my son was in college, I would love it, right? For sure. So I loved every step of the way. Like, I shouldn't say that totally, because when he was first starting out, it was just, I just wanted to be better at hockey, and I wanted hockey to be better, but it was like cute, but it was like, if I missed something, it wasn't the end of the world. But once he started to get playing and like actually playing hockey competitive and stuff, it was like, I never liked missing a game. Because it's your kid, right? And I guess for me, it was hockey always is a microcosm of life. So I always taught my son, my kids, through their sport, taking the lessons of that, the hard work, the dedication, all that stuff, and you can implement that into their life. So you could, don't worry about making noise, bud. It's all good. No, seriously. That's what I find is good. So now at this point, like in the OHL, I don't ever coach them in hockey, like whatever, but like I'll throw things out where it's still, and I'm relatable. I never played in the NHL, so I can, but it's a job. So even now, like it'll be like, you know what? I think you have more in your tank. I think you can get away with this, but I think this without doing any coaching, just like in general, you could be maybe better here, or I can ask a question. At the pro level, it's like, this is a job, this is what you do, and there's no, you know, money could even dictate what line you're on, right? And it's such a job that, but now, saying that he's in the NHL, that would be a totally different thing. I'd probably love that, but you can't go to all the games. So in this situation, I can get to, you know, the farthest I'm going to go is a 7 or 8 hour drive. And, you know, it's enjoyable for my wife and I, and we're enjoying it, you know, and we're like, I guess I look at it as we're helping him along the process, just being a parent.
Yeah.
Because you're still a kid, right? So like once you get to 21, 22, like when you start working here, your parents don't say like, how did you do at work today? Did you try hard? Like all that kind of stuff. But when you were a kid, parents could help you out a little bit. So I feel like from dad's aspect of it, sometimes they just need support. Because they're like, he's 17, man. So sometimes they need support or a different set of eyes on, or a different way to approach a problem or something good, like not help them not get too high, not get too low, stuff like that. Whereas in the pros, no, I've had conversations and done things with some pro guys where, you know, I remember Dalton calling me one day when he was playing in Calgary. He goes, I think this is the end of the road, man. He goes, I don't think I could play in the NHL. And I had a really good talk with him. He goes, thank you. I needed that. So, but it's, they're more mature, right? So sometimes I just feel you can affect them, make a difference. So I think as a player and a coach, or a dad and a skills coach or whatever you call me, I think I prefer 20 and under. Long answer.
Oh, it's cool. It's interesting though, because it's like you get you still get the benefit of watching, but you still feel like you have influence. So if it makes sense.
I want to be careful what influence means. It's not influence from, influence and I know like you get it. I know you get it because, but I want to be clear about this because there's no influence in the game or with the, you know, like you have to play well, you have to earn your spot. But that's the message, right? But the junior and college players are still young. So you can still parent a bit. Influence, I want to be really careful on that because a lot of people think they can influence and there's not really much you can do. Yeah. And nor should you. Remember the conversations I've had with a couple of parents, it's like, okay, so you want a trade, but why do you want a trade? Did you ask your son? You know, I've heard parents, you know, complain about power play and stuff like that. It's like, okay. And then you ask a player on the team or whatever, or you ask the kids, how do you feel about things? Oh, great. Well, do you wish you were on power play or something? No, I'm not a power play guy. They get it. So sometimes parents get a skewed version of what is successful for their kid, right?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, it makes sense. It is an interesting question in the position that you're in, because a lot of people that listen will, maybe not a lot, but a portion of the people that listen will be in this position where they are watching their kids, maybe in the OHL, maybe whatever. And then, you know, or maybe they haven't thought of it the way you've thought of it just because of the experience you have in the game. So it's interesting to hear your mindset on the next steps and what would be next and why you're so interested in this particular time and why you feel like it's such a huge part of your life personally as a dad, not a hockey person, just as a dad. And a lot of that hockey perspective feeds why you feel that way, right? Because you kind of know what comes next, you know how it's going to change and all those things, right?
Yeah.
But
I think maybe it would change a little bit, like like, I want to be careful how I say this too, is like, I don't want my son to play in the NHL. Like he wants to. So it makes a big difference. So that's, so I see his dedication and the work he puts in, and, you know, the questions he asks and the details that he's concerned about. So I know that he's bought in. So it makes me more interested, probably. I think if he was, you know, not so committed to to being a pro one day, I think it would probably change my perception. I'd watch it
as it,
like,
should. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
As it,
yeah,
should.
Because, yeah, at the end of the day, it's not up to me. It's up to him, and it's up to him to solve the problems with his coaches if there's a problem, and or teammates and leadership and all that stuff. But that's where I feel very fortunate that we have a good relationship and he can trust me on things, and he'll tell me something about what he feels about something, and then I could just talk to him and approach it different ways and say, oh, maybe your coach is seeing this, not your coach, but whatever the problem is, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey guys, my name is David. For the last roughly year or so, I've been a member of the PowerTech podcast, and I've trusted Eric and Andy to help me as a hockey dad raising my kids and trying to figure out the answers. I don't have all the answers, and it's a great source of information, and it's an area where I feel comfortable leaning on to help me make better decisions. With that said, one thing I do know about is supplements. I find it's hard to navigate the whole supplement world and make sure that you're using products that work, that are effective, and again, are science research based. Blue Star Products, incredible brand. Their products are based on research, science, the products work, trademark patent ingredients, and you can find all of the research just by scanning QR codes that are right on the back of the product. Thank you to Eric and Andy for their podcast. I think it's amazing, and definitely give Blue Star Products a try.
Well, interestingly enough, this is a very good segue, once again, into our topic for today, which is totally by accident. We're kind of talking about, or what I want to kind of talk about, is like the differences between levels. So two things it kind of stems from. One is, I was eavesdropping on parents talking, as I do, and they were in the very animated discussion about the differences between like the AAA to the AAA level. And so I'm listening, and it was just kind of in passing. I wasn't like sitting there like listening for 15 minutes, but just kind of in passing, I heard them talk about it, and there's like concern from parents. And these are young kids, right? These are kids that are just like kind of in the beginning few years of their AAA.
So you're talking under 12.
Under 12, yeah. So they've been playing for AAA maybe for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and they're kind of on their way in youth hockey. And just listening to like the passion in the discussion, I thought it would be interesting, for the second reason being that I know on YouTube, I noticed that one of our most popular clips was the question of when to jump from AAA to AAA. That was like one of the most interesting topics for people. And I think it'd be good to kind of dive in. We've answered these questions a few times before, but maybe not in as much detail. So I thought it'd be interesting to kind of talk about it, because it's something that keeps coming up. And I want to talk about kind of the differences between the levels, but then I also kind of want to talk about why the differences exist from your perspective and my perspective, kind of thing. And all of that while acknowledging, like, we don't work with players that are under 14 or 13 very much. So there's some gaps in our understanding of the beginning levels of AAA. But I know the game is a little bit different now than when I was in minor hockey, but it's close enough. And I can remember the gaps, and I remember seeing the progressions and whatever. So it'll be somewhat relatable, or at least in the ballpark of what's kind of going on now, even if like all the details of how things are structured aren't exactly right and how we're saying it. But I wanted to start with that. So, like, first, if you have any general thoughts, or do you want me to throw a specific question at you first?
Well, I want you to be really clear on like how we're going on this.
Yeah.
And I think you're probably getting to that.
Yeah.
So I'll let you go. And if I need clarification, I'll ask.
Okay.
You.
So
I like this conversation.
It is. It's a fun conversation too, because I think it kind of, it blends a lot of different topics. Like, one is obviously just the differences, but then it kind of gets into like why some levels struggle more than others, or like different areas, why things are stronger versus other areas. I think we're going to kind of touch on all that stuff. So it should be kind of interesting. So the first thing, just in general, like I said before, we don't work with those super young kids, but would you agree in general that there's a big gap between the, let's say, AAA versus AAA level? So that would be like the first question in general. And then the second part, kind of to make it more clear, is when do you think that gap starts to be an issue, or when is it apparent, or when do you think it starts to actually affect the development of the kids? So like, at what point, first of all, do you agree that there's a big gap? Then at what point is there a big gap?
Yeah. Okay. So the first question, let's just start with that. So do you think there's a big gap in levels?
Yeah. So this is specific AAA to AAA.
Yeah. Okay. So I said this in a podcast months ago, I believe, that there was a time, and it was the year, I believe, when I remember Zach Cassian and Danny Maggio and Ryan Wilson, all those types of guys were playing AAA, and I was more involved in the youth hockey. And there was more hockey players playing that could afford to play. I don't know, but it seemed to me that the interchangeability, if that is an actual word, between the bottom half, or let's say at least the third line, first 2D, from a AAA level and going down to a lot of the AA teams in this area, at least, was not that big of a gap, like the interchangeable guys.
Yes.
So let's say bottom three.
And I would agree.
Bottom three, yeah. Bottom two defensemen.
Sorry to interrupt. Don't want to make you lose your train of thought.
Yeah, but you won't.
But the when I played, so this I would have been a few years after those guys, because Zach would be, I think, 3 or 4 years older than me. So my age, it was exactly that. I've talked about this before, where as we got a little bit older, then those top AA kids came up and played on our AAA team. So it was very interchangeable for my age too. So that would have been even several years after that, it was still true from what I remember in our area,
yep.
At least.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it was like all of a sudden there was it would be hard to find a player or two to go to either of the AAA teams that would make, like, it would be like same guy or no, there's a little bit of a gap. So at one point, so I would say, let's say 10, 15 years ago, I found that maybe there was more travel hockey, maybe, you know what I mean? Yeah. More travel hockey, more centers that you can play. Maybe there's more kids. And then the bottom half were interchangeable and there was a little bit more competition for those spots for sure. And then it dropped off, obviously, because that's just life. Then I found like 10, 15 years ago, let's say probably in the last 10, 15 years, that is now I find it's a big gap, that it's very hard to find guys that can interchange just from a skill perspective. That doesn't, now saying that, that doesn't mean that these kids can't develop. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, in general, the gap of finding, if you needed to replace two guys to make a better team, like, you're hard pressed to do it in this area.
Right. So just to, again, to be clear, because I want to try to make this as clear as possible, we've said in the past that, in your opinion, and I kind of agreed with the opinion, we kind of, as a general rule of thumb, we've talked about when to make that jump from AA to AAA as being around that 13-year-old kind of age.
Yeah, I would always say that.
In general.
So I would always say that.
I'm going to get back to that question after, but do you think that, is that kind of still the line for you, where you think that the gap is most apparent? Again, this, we would be specifically talking about in our area, because I know, like, for example, out west, like, AA is the highest level until they're like 15 or 16 or something, right? So this wouldn't apply to those people. Or if you're in the States, things are different. So we're just talking about in Ontario. Would you still say that that gap would be by that 13-year-old-ish age? That would be kind of where you find the gap to be now. Now you could fall behind, I guess.
Yeah, you can, but you can also not.
Right.
You know, like you can never discount a player's commitment and development and puberty and all the things that can make a kid better.
Yep. See you, Nico.
So you can never discount that. Like, and that's the part I want to be clear about. It doesn't mean that because you haven't played AAA hockey until you're 14 that you could never play. That's not what it means. It just means, like, what I find is that, so someone might argue that that's why you need to go early, but I would say that it comes down to commitment. And I'm not talking about mom and dad taking them to 6:30 in the morning practices, like skill sessions and stuff, and getting all the ice you can. I'm talking about the kid's personal commitment to wanting to be a hockey player. So you are who you hang out with a lot of the times. So if you're hanging around with kids that want to be on the ice and want to shoot pucks and want to watch hockey and they're like-minded about hockey, there is a better chance that your child will be in the same boat. They'll be into hockey. Whereas if you hang out with someone that likes to play but doesn't love to play, then, you know, in their spare time, if you're on your team, it's like, well, maybe instead of watching a hockey game, we do something else, which is fine. But I think it's just the like-mindedness is one of the big things that is a big difference.
So one thing that pops to mind, you kind of said that, like, all of a sudden there was a change where now there is a gap that you notice where it wasn't as interchangeable, which I also remember. And I can't really put a pin on exactly when it happened, but what do you think, in our area at least, like, why do you think that that happened? Now, the first thing that pops to my head would be, do you think that it is the, like, excessive investment in extra stuff that people started to do? Because all of this, like, extra, like, that was never a thing, really, when I was a kid. Like, some people did. But now it's like most people feel like they have to do all of this extra stuff. So do you think, like, that maybe created an even bigger gap in the earlier stages where it's like these kids are just getting so many more reps from that, like, excessive investment early on that it shows, the gap shows earlier, maybe? Yeah, like, I'm just kind of playing with that idea. I don't really know.
I'll go back to that because that's something I was for sure going to talk about with this. But I would say, like, just the gap in general, not talking about the skill level. I'm talking about, if we just say take an A off the AAA, and as you move down, I think in this area, I can only speak for this area, but I would say it's probably true, is how do I say it? I feel like the population in general for hockey players is it's really expensive. Like, it just really is expensive. And if you're making $10 million a year, it's not expensive. It's no big deal. But if you're like the average person and you have more than one or two kids involved in the game, it's very, very expensive. So, and then quite honestly, we have a lot of people that come from other countries that are not hockey people. So, you know, they might be soccer, they might be playing other sports. Yeah. So now you have, let's say you have a million kids in an area, or $500,000, or dollars, I'm talking money all the time. If you have a $200,000 or 200,000 population, and it's a lot of new Canadians or new Americans in that area, and they don't even get the game, then you're automatically taking some kids that aren't playing.
And that's a good point. I didn't really think about that.
No, yeah. It's huge. So if you look at our area here, Windsor itself, okay? Windsor's population is about 250,000 people, right? And in that 250,000 people, most of the people that are newer to the area, the population, like the demographics, would be like a lot of immigrants, right? So that 250, as far as a hockey demographic, it's changed the demographics. So, you know, I'm not trying to be anything but honest, right? So if you're pulling from a population, which I think, like, the Windsor AAA situation is, they're pulling more from the newer Canadians, not all, but, like, right? So that population of hockey players that would just naturally, like, my uncle played, my other uncle played, my grandfather played a little bit. I played.
Like,
my
less,
son plays.
Less per capita now.
Whereas now you get someone in that doesn't understand the game at all. And it's like, well, let's just play soccer. It costs us $10. What $1,000 for skates? Like, I can't afford that, right? So, like, how can they play? So I think that has part of it. I think part of it, moving to different, like, the outskirts of the towns, changes the demographics for the AA centers, or it makes one really powerful and one less. So that's one. So that's where I would say that changes a lot. And then just being able to afford hockey, I mean, like, honestly, there's people that, for the adults that listen, like, I don't have to tell you this, it's like, it's expensive. So if you want to do extra stuff, it's like, that's even more expensive. So that could be a deterrent. And honestly, if I had three kids playing at the same time, I don't know if I could do it. So I'm talking about playing at the AAA level. right? So sometimes you're fortunate to be able to play in a situation like the stars line up, or you think your kid is good and you put them, you know, you mortgage your house. I've seen that. People put a second mortgage on their house to play hockey. So anyways, the demographics, I think, play a big part in the gap. I think that kids, the next part I would say is I think kids in general, as we talked about last podcast, I think kids in general, like we talked about the communication, how they have phones now. I mean, am I a rocket scientist for saying that? No. But kids have so many other things to take up their time. When I played hockey, when I was a kid, it was like eat, go outside, play. And we always, you know, you have to pull us off the street to play street hockey, or to pull us off to not play anymore. It's time to eat. You know, mom begging you to come in to eat. Like, we have to eat, man. So like the kids would go in and we'd be right back out. We played sports. We played it all the time. So I think in general, the athletes, and we weren't playing road hockey and the games to be pros and development. We played because we loved the game. And then we had in Sudbury up north, we had outdoor rinks all over the place. We'd be all over the place. You know, we could catch ice all the time. And it was never about development. It was about, we love to play hockey. So I think that's my next point in the development is I think is missing in a big way.
That's the other thing. That's a good point too, because it's like even if you didn't love playing hockey, you would go play hockey just in your spare time because that's what there was to do. Like, dude, that was the activity.
There's guys that in our neighborhood that were better ball hockey players than me, yeah, because, you know, they had rubber boots and a hockey stick and they were tough as nails. And they had needed something to do, but they couldn't afford to play hockey. Maybe they would have been great hockey players. So if you trickle that down 30 years, 40 years, yeah, right?
So, okay. So now that's great. Those are two really good points. Those are things I didn't really think of. So good add. So do you think that those kind of points you're talking about, or anything in that area, do you think that accounts for most of the gap? So for example, you go to Toronto and you have the U10, U11 every year. All the best teams are from Toronto. All the best teams are from that one part of Michigan. It's like they're all the same always.
Yeah. And if you look at it, so you said Toronto, you said, yeah, Michigan, so you say mostly Detroit's a great league. Toronto's a great league. But also start looking at the youth hockey in Chicago. If you would have looked at, like, when I played, there was a really good Team Illinois. But now the population of people, you know, you got the sprinkle effect of NHL guys for decades that now have their kids that they moved to Chicago.
Right.
And all of a sudden they've got population. You got kids that are interested. The Wayne Gretzky effect in California was huge. People got interested in hockey. So you start looking at the U.S. really developing players. And I don't know if I call it development. I just think people got interested and they're putting arenas up. Now there's more players. So now you're seeing different pockets of places all over the U.S. where you would have never thought there was going to be hockey. I mean, Austin Matthews is from Arizona. You know, that doesn't make sense. But there's actually a few guys from Arizona, a few guys from Texas and stuff where that would have never happened. So my demographic thing, I think, is part of the play.
Right. So my question was going to be, do you think it's mostly that stuff? Or do you think that, so right now I'm more comparing let's say AAA center to AAA center or AA center to AA center. I'm not really comparing AA to AAA in this particular moment.
Okay.
Do you think that the gaps between centers then would be more the demographic argument versus like, is the coaching just better? Or is it better because of the demographics?
Okay. Here's the answer to that question. Give me the best players. I'll be the best coach. Most likely.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Why can you take five teams from Toronto or let's just say this. We have every year the OHL Cup, that's a tournament that's put on for 16-year-olds or 15-year-olds that are draft eligible. You have to qualify for it. Well, why is it pretty much every year a Toronto team wins? Why is it that if the top U.S. teams are always from one spot, you don't get a team from Colorado that wins the Nationals? Maybe they have, but not very often. Demographics. There's more kids that play hockey in Toronto. I mean, there's 4 million. So if you say, right, if you say the North Bay Trappers are playing the Toronto Marlies, you already know the score or you know the outcome. 99.9% of the time. It'd be like, that's what it is. It's demographics. So it's if you simply put, if you have a AAA team and you have 80 people trying out or 160 people trying out, as opposed to North Bay, who has 17 or 16. 99.9, I would say 100% of the time, Toronto just has the advantage there.
Mm.
Obviously, or no?
Yeah, I would agree. So,
yeah. So that's then, AAA to AAA, that's the gap.
Right.
That's the gap.
Right. Okay. So then, do you think that if we kind of talk about more like the, because you get the odd, like solid reputation program from a smaller area, right? Or like with some of these academy schools coming up, like some of these academies, like that St. Andrew's school for the older kids, kids go there, and that's like a hub school where like they get a lot of people around that area. I don't even know where St. Andrew's is. Is it Toronto?
Yeah, North Toronto. I think it's in Aurora or...
So that would still be Toronto.
Just North Toronto.
So that would still be Toronto, yeah. Then. So that isn't really a good example. But anyways, some schools or some smaller market areas are a little bit known for like being a little bit of a like development hub. Even if it's like sometimes inconsistent, like they'll have a good year, then an off year, then a couple good years, then an off year. So it's maybe not as consistent as a big demographic city. But what do you think about kind of creating those little development hubs? Like, so for example, in Windsor, like we're a smaller market center. So what would it take if we look at the AAA level, if we look at the AA level, both? At the AA level, when we go and play other AA centers, like we get smashed. At the AAA level, when we go play other AAA centers, we usually don't do great. We do okay. We're one of those places where like you'll get the odd really good Windsor AAA team, you'll get the odd good Sun County team, but for the most part, we're like mid to low end of the pack for the most part. So what are the kind of key changes then, in your opinion, if we stick on like the AAA to AAA difference, what are some of like the key things that you would need to turn a smaller center into a more impactful like development hub for players? Like, what do you need? Is it money? Is it just money? We'll solve that because you can afford to bring in the best people and improve the quality, or is it something else? Or do you think it's just not, you can't catch up? It's too hard.
No, like, okay, maybe I'm answering this wrong, but there's different ways we can talk for a while.
Yeah, for sure. There's no rush.
Okay. You use St. Andrews for an example. Okay, how come they can have a good team and it's not maybe in a big center? Well, because they can find people to bring them there. And I don't care what anyone says. To me, if you bring in good, like the high-end hockey players, the program itself doesn't really matter, like to a certain degree. So like that's why I get I giggle sometimes. Giggle's quite giggle, the word, isn't
wow.
it? No, but I laugh sometimes because like the super teams and stuff, and you know, the coaches that think they're making the difference, or the program. Look, they're on the ice four times a week. They're getting this, that, and the other thing. That's what makes it good. It's like, it could make it excellent. Like it can make it a really cool program for good players and a good atmosphere. But the reality is you have the ability to pick the players that you want, not here's what you get to pick from. Right. So that, to me, always will make the difference.
So do you think it's possible to have a program that can turn players that would otherwise be mediocre into those top tier players? Like, do you think it's possible to just assemble such a good place, like with the right people, with the right stuff, with the right structure, where it's like we make players that would otherwise be mediocre turn into those top level players?
For sure you can do things. But at the end, like, not but. Of course you can do that. But. Yeah. Not but, but. Connor McDavid is Connor McDavid. It doesn't matter where he played hockey. You know what I mean? So that's, you got to eliminate that. I really believe that a good program can make a better hockey player for sure, or get them up to their potential. Yes. Yes, I do believe that. So what I think one of the biggest things that is detrimental to hockey, excuse me, is this is the topic, right? Is there's too much skill work. And what I mean by that is there's too much skill work that you're not really working on skill. Like, people like to use the word development and skill building and all this stuff, or else you'll never play. And it's very true to a certain degree. But what I find is that there's a lot of teaching that has nothing to do with the game. So a lot of time is spent with your head down, going through pylons or going through Let's use PEP for example. I'm not discrediting it or anything. I'm just saying, like, for me, if you say that's how you make a hockey player, it's like, when, like, it'll make a someone do an obstacle or a pattern faster, better, quicker, which is not necessarily bad, but it doesn't. That, so this, in my opinion, that's where I think people, when they play hockey, you look at a practice player and you go, like, he's so good. How come he doesn't do it in a game? That's the question.
We get that question.
How come he doesn't do it in a game?
Yeah, all the time.
Because in a game, you don't start in the corner and have four different stations to keep your head down and stick handle, stick your puck through, jump over something, come back, do 25 different turns and stuff and shoot without a purpose. That's a drill. That's a skill drill, which is fine. But you got to be able to do that. No, the game is not about that. Only a small part of the game is that. So that's what I tell players. We work on this skill. Let's say it is a stick handling thing. We're going to work on this for 5 hours over the next couple months or over the next few years, 40 hours or whatever, to use it for a split second, once or twice a year. Do you need to? Yeah, that's important. Like a toe drag, let's say. A toe drag is, you don't want toe dragging all over the ice, but there are times and places where toe drag or the mechanics of a toe drag applies to a game of hockey. Like, for example, you say toe dragging, like, what is it? It's a weight transfer. It's pulling the puck in. So that could be like scooping a puck from a pile. If you don't know how to transfer your weight properly, then that doesn't execute properly and you can't get the shot off. It's not, I would never show a toe drag so you can toe drag people because that's, it doesn't happen very often. It's not your best option. So my point is that when we do development is about playing hockey, not individual. So that's what I find is you get a lot of people working their individual thing, not understanding the game of hockey. So why do you get a good practice player? Because they practice well. They're doing something that they're comfortable with. There's no necessarily a challenge on them. There's no pressure. There's no decision-making.
No, decision-making, right?
So all you have to decide is how fast or if you need to slow down at this pylon or the puck's bobbling or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're not learning how to play the game, and I think that's the biggest gap in development, period. That's what I think.
Okay, so this is great. So now I'm going to go back to the kind of AA to AAA differences now. So because back to this parent conversation I was overhearing, there was just like concern. Like if you're not at the AAA level now, when you're 11, 12, like just from their perspective, then you are going to fall behind. Like that is what it seemed like the consensus of the conversation was. I just heard it in passing for a few, like not even 30 seconds, but I heard enough of it where I was like, it seemed like everyone was kind of in agreement. Like if you don't make this jump at this time, you will be behind. So to me, I had like just a quick story here just to give you a little more of a breather too. I was watching a U18 team on the weekend and like these are U18 hockey players, right? So these are guys that would be, they're 16-year-olds or 17-year-olds on this team. They did not understand how to execute basic like hockey decision-making. Like they couldn't recognize when certain things were happening in the game that they need to do. For example, I had them, I was watching them. They're trying to implement a 1-2-2 because I know the coach. They're trying to implement a 1-2-2 in their neutral zone. And the coach is saying to me like, these guys, they can't identify how to get into this 1-2-2 in the neutral zone. At the U18 level, like I would expect you go in there and you say to them, hey, 1-2-2. And everyone's like, okay, you don't even need to show it on the board. It's like, we know, you would think. So my point of bringing that up is now that they're at like the 16, 17 year old level and all of them have been to the pep skates, all of them have been to the skill coach, all of them have been to, because these are all AAA level, AA level players at minimum. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, no one's ever taught them how to play hockey. Like no one has ever taught them in the game, like what are you supposed to be thinking? Like what are you supposed to be looking at? Like what are the, how do you weigh the options of what to do? Like they just don't have these skills, right? So my question from that is a lot of times I think the default thinking pattern and going to kind of these parents that we're talking is, so because if they don't make this jump to AAA now, they're going to be so far behind. And if they go to AAA, they're going to get more ice. They're going to get more reps. They're going to get more this, more this, more this, more this. And that seems to be what a lot of people think the difference is. You know, what a lot of people think that difference is going to be, like, they need to be on the ice more. They need to be working on their skating more. They need to be working on, and I don't think they're correctly identifying the problem, where from my perspective, I'm looking at it just like, these guys do not know how to execute a hockey thing in the game. All of them can handle the puck fine. Everybody can shoot fine, right? Some of them are better skaters than others.
10-2s.
Yeah, right.
They're
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Right? Everyone can do a 10-2 now.
So my, I guess
and they make, love it.
So yeah,
and it's good.
To put that into a question, I guess, is like, do you think it's more a function, if we talk about the difference between AA to AAA, or this could even scale to like between AAA centers too, I guess. Do you think it turns into a function of coaching more than just the ability of the players, like back to your demographics point? Do you think just like some of the players are just going to get it and be better earlier? And if you're in a big center, there's more likely to be more of those guys, and that kind of makes up the difference? Or do you think, like, for example, in our area, like the coaching is just so poor that there's a million skills coaches, there's a million people doing cones, but we're lacking people that can actually teach the game part of hockey? So if speaking for like just our area, maybe, is that what's lacking? Versus, do you think it's more just the demographic thing again? Or where do you see like that gap in why there's a difference? Like, what do you think about those things?
She's loaded, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's loaded. No, there's a lot.
Yeah.
So first of all, I want to just go back to something. You said if you don't get to AAA at a certain level, you might as well, it's a burger flip now, right? See you later. Well, one of our former customer of mine is Matt Martin. So he never played one game of AAA in his life, and he just played his 900th NHL game the other day. I look at around the OHL, and I don't know if these kids never played AAA, but they were like, I know London just put a couple guys that they have roles. They have a role. They do it well. It's not, and a lot of people say, well, where'd they play? You know, they get a U18 guy that was a later guy or whatever. It's like, where, you know, it happens on not every team, but like many, many teams have like late picks, late guys that he wasn't that good. Like, you wouldn't think he was that good. It's like they figured out hockey. See, people think that, and this is the biggest thing, is people think that hockey is exactly the skill part, but that's like one part. What happens is, like, if we go back to levels again, every level you play, there's a huge gap. Okay, so like, it shouldn't really be a surprise to someone that there's a gap in Pee Wee or U12, AAA to AA. It shouldn't be a shock. So because you look at the National Hockey League is like the highest level that you can ever play at. The gap between that and the American Hockey League is humongous. Humongous. Now, are there players that maybe it's a contract thing, or it's like a money salary cap thing, or, you know, the team's deep and it's like that kid probably could play on four different other teams on a fourth line, third line, or whatever his role is, but this team just can't. Yes, there's that. But the gap of an NHL player to an American League player or East Coast player is humongous. And then, you know, the OHL or college to the NHL or American League, there's a gap. There's a gap. So, like, I was talking to a couple parents the other day about, like, because, you know, like, people have the dream of playing the NHL, and it's fantastic. Yes, of course. But, like, arguably one of the best defensemen in the OHL last year was Ethan Del Mastro. So I was telling a couple parents that. I said, so, like, would you guys say, like, he was one of the best D, like, probably the best D? I mean, whatever you consider the best, but, like, he would be the top couple D. He was a drafted second or third or fourth round of Chicago, played on the world junior team. Would he be one of the best D in the OHL? They're like, oh yeah, for sure. I said, okay, guys, he's not in the NHL yet. He was the best that you've seen, and he was a dominant D, like dominant. He knew how to grab a puck and never get hit, ever, hardly ever. And he was physically strong, and, you know, he could put points up and carry the puck just so calm. He's not in the NHL yet. So that's the gap. He was the best that you've ever seen. He's not in the NHL yet. That's huge. So then, you know, the kids that go from midget to junior B to junior OJ or whatever, junior A to the OHL, Canadian Hockey League, whatever you want to call it. Like, the gaps are huge. The gaps are huge. So it shouldn't be a shocker. Like, as you get older and the leagues get better, that funnel just gets skinnier and skinnier. It's hard to, so that's where understanding how to play hockey, and this is where people fall through the cracks as they get older, is not understanding that there's a role. There's roles for players to play, and it's like huge. So when you have someone that has worked on skill, which is necessary, then the best skilled guy, if we're going on the skill theory, gets you to the NHL, would play in the NHL. So that means you got the hardest shot, quickest hands, most agility, can skate through people, but that's just not the way the game is played. So the kids that figure out, or the parents, or the culture that they're in, can explain to them in a good way that you're a very, very important person on our team, even though you're not going to get 35 goals. That you do this role and you do it well, because, and teach them as they move up how important it is to play a complete game. All those different things, that's when you're going to start seeing kids that have skill. If they can put the commitment into learning the game or learning a role, then that's where you're going to have a better hockey player. So it's like there's a whole lot of different ways to do this. They're not to do this. Like, you got to get through. You got to get through the layers of, like the parents, the false, or the what do I call it? the belief that more ice, more skill is going to get you there. That's how we're going to get it. It's not true. You have to understand the game or a role.
And that's, I think it's like there's a fundamental like lack of understanding on what the problem is.
And I get it. I get it. And I get people, like, as parents, I think this is the biggest thing, is to understand that the fear of missing out is not, it's just not there. It doesn't need to be there. You know, like, so I'm going to use a player for an example that, you know, because it's so close to me. I was just at their house. So on the Guelph Storm, there's Matt Patras, right? So he had 95 assists last year as a 18-year-old kid, drafted second round in Boston. So looks like we're probably not going to get him back this year. If we do, it's like winning the lottery. He got called up to the NHL. We're going to find out if we get him back or not. So the argument, and his dad and I were like buddies. So I can say this. His knock was that, like, from day one, from what I heard from people, agents and other people, is he can't skate. So this was one of my arguments. I said, who cares? Well, if you can't skate, you can't play. Oh yeah? Why? Why? If you're smart, if you know how to make plays, you can play, right? It's just one thing. So his appearance is that he's got a little bit of a lean and it looks like he's going to get his head taken off. That was early. He's changed it a little bit. But he might be the smartest player I've ever seen. Not ever, but like, he's up there. Honestly, he's up there. So he was getting knocked for the first 2 years that Charlie played with him, that, yeah, and he's got his head down. But it's not down. Like, so and maybe it looks down, but his eyeballs are out. So he's seeing everything. His first year, did he take a few hits? Yeah. Okay. But what did he do for skill development? He wasn't on the, you know, I mentioned a couple names and his dad's like, who? These are skill, like the gurus, because he didn't know. His kid played lacrosse in the off season, and I'm sure he trained, but he's got a brain for hockey. And his elite playmaking is incredible. So he didn't do way more ice. He played a ton of lacrosse. So you've seen Matt play. It looks like he gets himself in trouble sometimes. And he's got 3-4 people around him. And then he just skills it out. But part of that was he's able to absorb. The other knock on him, he's not that big. He's 5'11", 185, let's say. He's going to get killed. He's too smart. So through his lacrosse, he's learned how to weave in and out of the traffic and hang on to the ball, the puck, whatever it is. And while doing that, he's sucking people in. He's doing it on purpose to create openings and feed a pass. And it's like, they're at the end of the night, 3 points. So he gets to the NHL, where everybody has, now his brain is elite. And now everyone that said he can't do it, well, now he can, because now he's playing with a bunch of brainiacs, right? So, like, that's a thing. It's like, he didn't do it because he was on the ice more. He had a brain. He understood the game. And it's like, that's the key part to this.
Right.
Did I go way off topic or
no? No, you're in the ballpark. Okay. We're okay. There's just so many different layers to everything we're talking about. So it's like we can go on a tangent on all this stuff. That's why it was more just like trying to get a general picture for everything that's kind of contributes to why there's gaps between all this stuff, right? So I think if we get back to that, kind of addressing those differences, like, so this will be a hard question. So if you could design, like, acknowledging that there's gaps, so if we wanted to close the gap, let's say, between like AAA, AAA level as kids grow up, where we could get back to that like interchangeable, where the bottom players of, you know, the AAA team could be the top players in AA, and the top AA players could be the bottom mid-level players in AAA, or better, something like that, kind of like when I was playing. Because I do think that would be better. So if you could kind of design the system, like if you could design the, like the youth development system for making that kind of what the outcome would be, like what, you don't have to be like super specific, but just like in general, what are your thoughts on like how you could get it back to that based on maybe how the system is now versus how it was then, or however you kind of think of that?
Yeah. I honestly don't think it's that hard of a question. Like this is just my opinion.
Great.
This is just my opinion. I think like if I could be God
for
the world, there would be no AAA. There'd be zero. Now, I know that probably makes it harder for scouts and stuff, but the best players end up being the best players. I think that I would say let's get rid of AAA. That's what I would do. I'd get rid of AAA and kids play in their home centers or something like that. So now that you have the best players, like you have really, really, really good AA. So now you have kids that or on the brink that never got to play with a good player. So the kid that wouldn't play AAA is now playing on that AA team. And the goal scorers and the guys that are like just the great players have the puck all game. Because and at the end of the day, they will anyways at whatever level. Right? The best AAA guys that have the puck all day, they would do that at any level anyways. So there's no difference there. And then you would have kids that would take pride in, you know, not fooling themselves to play something that they're not. Do you know what I mean? So yes, you still have centers that are a little bit bigger and more kids. Yeah, you would, but I think it would level out the playing field a little bit, and kids would have hope, and hope goes a long way in hockey. That maybe if I work hard, I could be as good as Johnny,
mm-hmm.
and Johnny's like a pretty good player.
Okay,
right. So that would be number one. That would be my number one.
Okay, like, so
this is fantasy world, by the way.
No, yeah, but let me see if maybe this is a better way of kind of saying what you're saying. So. Instead of, because when you say get rid of AAA, to me, I just think, okay, now you're recreating AAA as AA.
Yeah. Right? You have more centers. You'd have more AAA centers. Yes.
So, right. So now instead of saying, okay, let's get rid of AAA, to me, like I think maybe a different way of kind of saying the same thing is like there's too many teams. So like if we have in our area, there's House League. So when I played, this is how it was when I played. There was House League. You had tier 3, 2, and 1. Okay, so they tiered the House League kids. Then we had a AA team, and then we had a AAA team. Okay, there was 2 AAA teams. It was Windsor and Sun County. There was maybe 5 or 6 AA teams, and then everyone else played House League. There was no C, double B, AE. There's none of this. But now, because there's so many teams, I think everything is so watered down. So the one way of saying what you're saying is kind of you get rid of AAA and it brings those kids down. Not to mention it makes the game less expensive. But so that's one way of you're collapsing some of the amount of teams down a little bit. Or the other way could be just like you have your House League, then you have your AA, then you have your AAA, but not with a million teams. Like let's cut down the number of teams where now you have a really, really weak AA. Like I'm even looking at even junior, like I was looking at junior C because we have a couple guys that played junior C this year, young kids. There's 61 junior C teams. And I'll ask, like, because so the guys that we have that play junior C, they play on like the top junior C teams. And I'm asking them, what was the score? 8-0, 6-1, 12-0. How is that possible at the junior level? Like that it's not competitive, you know? So I think on the one side, what you're saying, you get rid of AAA, bring things down. That's one way. Or what do you think of that? Like, just there's too many teams, man. Like, what do you think of that kind of?
Yeah, idea? Well, that's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, okay, so like in our area, we have AAA, 2 AAA teams in a population that, like a hockey population that probably shouldn't have 2. Like to have a really good competitive team. So there probably, if there is, there should be maybe 1. But then that doesn't, you start doing that everywhere, you don't have a very big league, I guess. I don't know. And organizations make money. So there's registration fees and all that stuff. So like that probably won't go away. And then if you had good AA centers, you would develop players because you have better players playing there. And it wouldn't be the end of the world for the good player that's in AA because now you get to play, man.
So what do you think about if we take the coaching slant on that now? So let's say step one is there's less teams. So whether you get rid of AAA or there's just less teams, so like the competition is better, the better players are staying at their home center. We've made the game a little bit cheaper, for example. How much now does coaching play a role? So if you go, same thing, if you go to Toronto, where it's the same demographic problem, let's say, but now there's not as much buzz about like the travel. So the money of the game is not as much of a factor. So now where does like the coaching play? Like how important do you think, let's just do it that way. How important do you think the coaching is? Like how important do you think coaching is up until whatever year? Like is that a big difference maker?
With talent, yeah. Or with lack of talent, yeah. Like it depends. Mm-hmm. If you've got like kids that are just not very good, but you teach them how to play so they're competitive, that's coaching for mm-hmm. sure. You know, do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
So like if you have a group of talent, not talent, like not a very good team and zero coaching, then it's going to be a shit show, right? So yes, coaching can make a difference. And if you have a really good team with zero, and you just let them play, then they're not developing into hockey players. They're just playing, you know, they're winging it. Or if you have a really good team with really good coaching, I think that's very good for sure. So coaching does make a difference. But at the end of the day, as I've always said, you really don't learn the game of hockey as a hockey player, not to insult anybody, but you don't really learn it till you get to a level where a coach is getting paid and they get fired. And, you know, so I'm talking like junior something, junior B, junior A, OHL, college, USHL, North American League, where it's like you're playing to win. You're actually playing for jobs. So that's where I think coaching matters, because now you're everybody that you're playing is well coached too. I'm saying you might have a coach. Yeah, you get a coach. How did this guy hire? He still knows the game, right? Like there's been a few guys that got fired in the OHL the first 3 weeks in. It's not the shitty coaches. That's not what it is at all. Just at that time and place, it's just, I mean, most of them play in the NHL, so they have a clue. So coaching matters. But I think the most important thing for coaching, especially when they're younger, is number one is to take the pressure off the kids, let them have some fun, teach them the principles of life the best that you can, and then implement competitive drills in practices. Not necessarily skill, yes, skill, yes, but I think your skill needs to be implemented in situations where you have to think, where you have to battle. So like in the small area games, and it doesn't have to be small area games. It could be, you know, just decision makings and drills and stuff like that, where they have to think and understand that it's a team game. Mm. It's not an individual sport.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think like I'm not saying that I know all the answers either, but just I've said it earlier, like there's a lack of understanding on like what the issues are and then what is age appropriate. That's what I find. And I'm not saying I have a full understanding of it either, but with a lot of dads, like I remember I was talking to one dad the other day and he was asking if I was going to do more like speed training with some of these young kids that I have with one of these classes that I'm teaching. And I was kind of telling him like this is not the appropriate time to be doing that. And I don't know if he believed me. Like, I don't know if he thought that was like stupid that I would say that or not. Like, I couldn't tell, but based on his reaction.
This to me turns into that fear of missing out again. So I've dealt with that so many times with players and dads when they're younger, or even 15, 16, where they say it just needs to be faster. And it's like, can you work on speed? Can you work? Well, you can't work on speed once in a while. You have to be fast, or you have to actually train fast. So like having a really good conversation with one of the dads on the team the other day. He was a football player, a couple of football guys, really good dudes. And I was able to have an intelligent conversation about training. So we were talking about the benefit of doing track. So without me saying it, not because I have to say it, but what Tim said to me, he goes, yeah, like I was working with my kid up until this point. Like the guy's jacked still, right? Around my age. And you could tell that he knows what he's talking about. He goes, I used to train him, but you know, his agent said, you know, you need to go to someone and all that stuff. And I wanted to get him on the track more. He goes, because everybody thinks squats and jumps and all that stuff is so good for your speed. He goes, but I like to flip it around and make sure that the hip flexors are strong so that they can fire. Because pushing is only one motion. He goes, the pulling, so like the hip flexor, the knee drive and all that kind of stuff, is actually this the other phase. He goes, and people forget about that. So it's like, so my point about the fear of missing out is like, a dad will see some kid fast. Okay, I got to get fast. What's he doing? Oh, he went to this guy. I got to go to this guy. It's right. Like, that's not why he's fast at 12.
Yes.
He's just fast at 12.
Right.
Right? Okay. So, okay,
so,
you go ahead.
Yeah, so exactly along those lines, because another comment that was made was, I'm doing a strength workout with U18 players, and another dad said to me, yeah, like maybe we could, he just happened to pop in while I was doing it. He's like, yeah, maybe we could, you know, get some more equipment or something so that, you know, there's not as much standing around because the boys are kind of like standing a little bit, right? And I'm like, well, no. That's not why, because yeah. They're doing strength yeah. And they need the break.
They're not
they
actually, doing conditioning.
They actually
they're
need strength. Right. They actually need the 4 minutes between sets. That's actually what they need. So standing around, sitting around, it's not always just about go, go, go. And so my point with that example, even with the coaching thing, it's like, I think there's just a fundamental misunderstanding on exactly where the issue is, because even with coaching, it's like, let's bring in the best coach. And it's like, you don't you always say it, like, you don't need a heart surgeon if you have a cough, right? You don't need a heart surgeon if you have a cough. That's too much. So if we come down to the 10-year-old team and like we start doing video and we start doing all this stuff, it's like it seems like they think they like the parents that maybe that are in this camp would think that that will be the difference, like that would catch up the level, that would make the gap smaller, like and I just don't think it's that. I think there's a balance of how to do things. And I think it's good to have a good coach and those things that can make a difference, like I said, but I just feel like there's some focus on the wrong things. Like there's harping on the wrong things. And it's like, let's get like on the ice more. I was talking to a kid yesterday. Here's a funny story. Like I'm talking to a little kid yesterday, right? The kid's like 9 years old or something. Maybe he's a little older. And he was in here with me. The dad was outside on the phone and he's talking to me and I'm just like kind of shooting the shit with him. I'm like, yeah. So he said something about his dad, whatever. And I go, oh yeah, like you like hanging out with your dad? And he goes, no, not really. And I'm like, really? I'm like, why not? He goes, I don't know. He's not that fun. And I'm like, oh yeah, what do you mean? Like, why isn't he fun? He's just like, well, like he's always on the phone, and like he doesn't really like he's not with me when he's with me. Basically, is what he's saying. And I'm like, oh yeah. So we just keep talking and I get to the like, oh yeah, so like is hockey still your favorite sport? Yeah, hockey's my favorite sport. It's like, yeah, do you love playing? He goes, I like playing. He's like, I like playing, but not always. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like what makes you not like playing? Like when do you not like it? He goes, well, like sometimes when I have to go to hockey early, like I don't really want to. I'm like, oh yeah, like when do you go early? He's like, sometimes I have to go at like 7 o'clock or like 6:30 and I don't really want to wake up that early to go. I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, does dad makes you go? And he's just like, yeah, my dad makes me go. And so like little kids can't bullshit that, right? And so I think like this is more where I'm finding the problem, you know? So like in the process of like trying to address the gaps, and like I don't think we've solved the problem here of like what the gaps are, how to fix it necessarily, but I do know a way to not fix the gap. And I think this is one that's worth thinking about, is like, you know, when I hear parents talking or they're asking me questions about things and they're so passionate and they're so concerned about the issues, and it's like, yeah, there's gaps. Yeah, there's problems. And yeah, obviously we want to work to fix the problems, but force feeding more to me is not a solution to the problem. And you can just talk to the kid, get the kid in a vulnerable moment when you can have an honest conversation. And that's where you actually figure out, does the kid want to wake up before he's ready to wake up to go to hockey when he's 11 or 10 or 9 or whatever? And a lot of times the answer is no, you know, a lot of times the answer is no.
Or the answer is like, this is the other side is, yeah, of course they want to go skate, but they're not necessarily trying to train. Do you know what I mean? They're not looking like a lot of these kids that come at the 6:30 in the morning skate. It's like their dad, like every dad says that he wants it, which I don't believe. Or what I do believe is that, yeah, of course they want to skate before school. That'd be fun to get on the ice more. I would have did it as a kid, but the difference is, do they love it? Are they doing it because they understand at 9 or 8 or 12 that this, if they do this, they're separating themselves from other people. But, and are you really, but are they doing it to train to be better? Are they doing it? Yeah, I'm going to skate for sure. Right. I would have, no right. matter what. I would have never said no.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, anyways, yeah.
So then getting back to more like kind of a question.
Yeah.
There are these gaps. We've kind of talked about a few things we think on how you can make it better, whether they're right or wrong, like who knows, whatever.
And but there always will be gaps.
There's always going to be gaps. Always. For sure. But back to kind of a question now to give people some like practical advice, I guess. If you're in an area like these concerned parents.
Yeah.
And you feel like there's gaps in the level, or if it's AAA to AAA or AA to AAA or whatever, and you feel like you don't have an optimal situation in terms of the development, let's say, to use the term, what options would you say like people in general might have to either get themselves into a better situation? Do they not need to worry about it? Do they should they look at going to like an academy instead? Yeah. Should they drop a level if their kids doesn't seem to be there, or should they try their best to get to the highest level? Is that the most important things? Like, what are some options if I'm a parent that's concerned that there's like development gaps in my area or on this team versus this team or whatever? Like, what are some just like general thoughts about that on what you could do? Obviously,
that's a question.
I know. Obviously, if you live in Timbuktu,
yeah,
and you can't just move, yeah. like. There's obviously variation to how you're going to answer the question, but provided like some, we can take some general things for granted. Like maybe you could switch teams if you wanted to, you could drop a level if you wanted to, maybe there's academy in your area if that's an option, like assuming the most generic situation possible, what would your kind of thoughts be about that?
Well, first, always, I would say like nothing is going to be that pressing, like nothing. And I know a lot of people say, no, you have to play this. You got to do this. It's like, no, you actually don't. You actually don't. If you don't have the best gym to go to, you're okay. Like, honestly, you're going to be fine. And whatever it is, like, how do I say this? Whatever you have, like, this is what I mean. The player will dictate where he's going to go anyways, right? So if you live in Timbuktu, as you said, and you don't have ice for 3 months, I don't think they have ice ever, but it's in Africa. But like, if you live in a place like when I grew up, that's different now. But when I grew up, the ice, as soon as the last game of the season for whatever, they started closing the rinks down. It didn't open up until August. Well, why, like from a development standpoint, why can I still skate in September? Why? So like all the theories about you have to be on there right now getting better. Like I don't think it holds true. Right. We didn't have all the lessons. Like, why can I shoot a puck harder than, you know, a lot of the junior guys?
Still.
Yeah, still, right?
Crazy.
Yeah, why can I skate? Like, I'm losing it now, but why can I skate pretty good still when I don't skate as much? Like, it's a myth that you have to be out there every day, right? It's not going to hurt you. I mean, the times have changed as well. Like, pros are on the ice a lot more and stuff.
It's still a U-shaped curve, man.
Like, but it's still it's the time and the place now. Like, it's their job. It's their job. They have to be sharp in certain areas and stuff. Like, if a pro thinks that they need to skate 5 times a week as soon as the season ends, then that's their decision as a professional adult hockey player or junior that feels like, okay, I do need to work on my skating. And if you feel like power skating is a thing, like it's an actual conscious decision to make yourself better. But not if you don't have it as a 12-year-old or a 14-year-old or whatever. It's not going to end your life as a hockey player. It's not. It's just not. If you don't have the best gym, if you have the desire to get in shape, you will find a way to do it. A push-up is still a push-up. Right, you can put something on your back and doing pull-ups and squats and running up hills and all these different things. Like, if you have the desire, you're gonna do it. So, I know I'm way off on the question.
No. Let me just tighten up again. So the one, because you know you're talking about the example of a pro, like this is their job, right? This is their job. So I want to make like a comparison to if it's, let's say there's something that's your job, right? Let's say you're a plumber.
Oh, that's great.
Right,
good example.
If you're a plumber,
yep,
and there's like some part of plumbing that you can't figure out how to get right. Like every time you do it, there's still a leaky pipe. then you are going to have to, as a professional, fix that problem so that you can effectively do your job and people want to hire you. As a professional hockey player, it's no different. So if you come back in the off season and your coach says, hey man, like, I'll give you, I was talking to an agent the other day. I was talking to an agent. He was saying one of their players got feedback from their NHL team that they were drafted to that they need to hit the net more with their shot and it has to be harder. That was one piece of feedback that this player got. High pick, NHL pick. Right away, this kid went and got a new like outdoor shooting setup for himself at home so that he could start addressing the problem, because he is now going to be a professional. Like, he, if everything stays on track, he will be a professional. If he does not address that issue, then he is not going to be a professional. Okay. At that point, your brain is developed such that you can address that problem and actually think about what that means, you know, or not. You can make that choice at that point. When you're 11, when you're 13, you know, it's funny, there's a thing that people say as a positive is, oh yeah, like they treat them like pros. You know, you hear people say that, right? This program, they treat them like they're pros, man, and it's amazing. It's awesome. And I understand the positive parts of that. Like, I get why that could be a positive thing. But you can't treat them like pros because they do not have the brain. They don't have it. So even with
elite, or it's just cool to be treated like a pro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's cool. Like, it's a cool setup. You have a cool room. You have cool equipment. Like, you have a nice tracksuit. Like, those are the things that make it a cool experience.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm going to cut you off. Like, it's just as good or better to work out in a dungeon.
I agree. But my point is, when I train some elite level 2012 players, okay? And when I'm doing a workout with them, I'm teaching them like the basics of everything. It's not like it's not even a workout. Like, they would say they work out, but it's not a workout. It's like we're learning basics. They will come to me. I'll just go on like a spiel. I'll go on like a 3-minute spiel about, hey, we're doing this because of this and why and everything. All this stuff is going to help you be a better hockey player and yada yada. And I'm doing my good coach thing. That's what I'm doing. One of these 2012 kids, great player, puts his hand up, goes, can we play sewer?
I know.
Right?
I know.
So it's like, I just spent 3 minutes doing the best job a coach could do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, whether it's the best, whatever. You get my point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm doing the best job a coach could do, explaining to them exactly what they need, exactly why, all the details, everything, perfect, exactly what any dad would want, you know? And the kid puts his hand up and asks me, can we just play? Like, that's the next question. It wasn't like, hey, coach, you know when you said this, what did you mean by that? Or how can I apply that to myself to make myself a better... That's not what he said. He said, hey, can we play sewer ball? Can we kick the soccer ball around? Can I jump on the bike over there? That's because they're kids, man. You know? So, point being, like, to what you're saying, it's just like that... The mindset of being a professional is not appropriate for kids.
It's funny that you said that because I'm a dad, man. I'm a coach. And there's age groups where I feel like when they come in, they should be like, come on guys, like dial in, man. But they're kids. And I remember my wife saying, I don't know. This is probably when he was 13, maybe even 14. Like, he's good and he works hard and all that stuff. But, you know, Christine would be like, I don't know if he's really that committed. I'm like, just calm down, man. I said, like, what do you want him to do? Well, he could be doing this more. And I'm like, yeah, he could, but he will. And as you get to certain levels, you either have the desire to or not, or you don't. And that's where things fall apart. Or you're just that good, that doesn't matter. You're just that good.
Yeah.
And that happens too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. That's kind of what I'm reminded of.
It's the
of.
Biggest thing, man. Like, it's really hard, you know, just going back to the development or the levels drop. It's like when you look at the National Hockey League, 32 teams have 22 players on a 23-player roster. Do the math on that. It's around 900. In the whole world, there's 900 guys that can play in the NHL. So the next gap is going to be another 900. Or no, there's more players because there's more teams, right? So you look at the OHL, there's 20 teams of 20 guys, 23 guys again. So there's 400 guys. There's always going to be gaps. And so to be the person that plays like the AAA or the Junior A or the Junior B or the OHL or the college or whatever. It's like there's going to be gaps because they're the best at the game mm-hmm. at some point, some part of the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
You wanted to say something about the academies. You were asking about it.
Well, it was just kind of a part of the question. The original question was like advice you'd give if parents feel like they things are lacking in their area.
Yeah,
like,
I wanted to say something about the academies because I got off tangent there. Like, I think from what I see, that is the next evolution of hockey, like in youth hockey, which is good and bad. Why is it bad? Because it's can be more expensive. Might not be. Depends on how it's structured. You know, you do whatever you want, but I feel like in that situation, an academy for a kid, and we talk about this all the time, is like the ideal
yeah.
for families, ideal. Except yeah. for maybe the parents, mom and dad can't sit and watch practice all the time. But ideal because especially if it could be affordable and the team could play in a good academy league where it's sanctioned and all that kind of stuff, it would be phenomenal because then you get to go to school, hit the ice. I wouldn't do 4 days a week. I would do like three skates, two practices, and maybe even flip it the next week. Have good coaching where you're teaching the game. Or if you do have four ice sessions a week, like two are actually dedicated to like learning hockey, like small area games, like fun, and the rest like skill stuff or however you want to call it. But then you can go from there, and then you'd have the workout days where you can teach them how to work out, teach them how to be strong. Like, I think that's really good. And I think you could teach the school part, like providing the school is decent, whatever your standards are in school. Everyone's got different standards. You know, you go from the ice, whatever, you get a workout in, you're getting up early, you're excited about going to school. Like, you're actually excited about going to school. I would think that at the school you have teachers that are probably more relatable to you, like if they're into the sports and stuff, so like it's almost like it's cool. And then you get to go to school and go home at the end of the day, and now mom and dad don't have to run around, and if it's affordable, like, man, that's incredible. Like, that would be, sign me up. And even as coaches, like now it would make sense so if I owned an academy or if we were part of an academy, now you could hire coaches that actually care. Right now you're selecting. You're not just a bunch of volunteers for all these different tiers. So now you could have, you know, maybe two, three teams in an academy. Kids are going to school. They choose to go there. So like they're choosing you. You're choosing them. So you've got, okay, this is good. And now you got coaches that can plan out a whole week. And now instead of having eight coaches or 10 coaches in an organization, you could have two or three really good ones. And then I think that would be very beneficial. And I think that would give kids their best bang for their buck. They're not practicing at 9 o'clock at night and not getting sleep. I think what comes with that territory too is the coaches are around a little bit more. So like you could, without being an asshole, talk to them about eating. You can see their food and say, wow, you're having a bologna sandwich. You look like a kid that likes bologna.
Well, and that's the thing, like having worked with some of those academies now, it's like you see the structure of the day and like what a great setup. If it's done well, this is always what we say about the academy thing, right? If it's done well and makes sense, then it's great. If it doesn't and it's bullshit and people don't care, because there's other academies around here that I know of that are horrible.
Yeah.
Insanely expensive.
Yeah. So there, you're always going to have the same problem, I believe. Yeah. Like, if you're going to have skills every day, would that be good or bad? Okay. Let's say it's going to be good. But then it depends. It depends on what you're teaching, what type of person is a skills coach. So now it just seems like anybody that can afford a whistle, pair of skates, and rent ice is now a skills coach. Well, it doesn't make them good. Right. So it's the same thing as academy. It's going to be the same issues. Some things are just, you know, they're just trying to make money. And if they're just trying to make money, you got to be honest about it and say, okay, is it just about money or is it actually about making my kid the best, not hockey player, unless that's your goal, that's fine. Like anybody can do whatever they want to do. I'm not the one to tell you like what's right or right or wrong. Cause who knows, right? Like no one knows. Me and Charlie's agent talk about this all the time. No one knows who's going to make the NHL. He's had so many players that weren't drafted and all that stuff. Like nobody knows, like actually don't know. So anyways, if you put that environment, that's good. Like you give your kid the best chance to be a good hockey player, maybe a good atmosphere with like-minded people. and it's reasonable costs, and you and if it gets to the point where you can play other schools or that becomes the new AAA, I think that would be really good. I just don't know when, how fast that's going to happen, but I do see it trending there, because you look at the youth hockey organizations, and I'm not being critical, it's just the evolution, right? You have a lot of volunteers that, or you have a lot of people that maybe pocketing some money in the back door, like, you know, there's all stuff that goes on, but there's the political side of it. And I don't like to use politics in the world of sports, but there is the, you know, someone that's never played, that's making all these decisions and it sounds good. It's like, what are you, nuts? Like, what's going on? Like, why does this AAA organization, we play on the same team for 4 years, why do we have to get new bags every year? Like, why? That doesn't even make sense. Why can't we use the jerseys for 2 years? Why do the kids have to buy, because that's in the cost. You got to buy jerseys for the year. It's like, okay, there's another 500, 600. Oh, and you got to buy a tracksuit and shorts and this and that. It's like, why? Like, that's the stuff, you know, practicing 9 o'clock at night, like all these things. I think it's, I think it's just not convenient. And I think trending, that's why I think the academies is actually a really good thing. And if you take an academy and you associate it with another program, that there's a, that, you know, you can funnel to, like the goal is to get to another spot. So like example, they do that in club teams in soccer, right? You start Barcelona, they start recruiting guys when they're young with the goal of playing for that team. Like then you're in that system, learning that system. I think it's really good.
Well, yeah, we had a Norway guy that was here in the summertime training with us. Daniel, he plays in Lillehammer. Yeah. And that's exactly what they have. And so he came in and was like, yeah, what do you want to do? He's like, oh, I want to play for the pro team in Lillehammer. That's what he wants to do. It's like, yeah, that is the system. That's how it goes over there, you know, which is interesting. So that same thing, like when it's done well, when things, the right pieces are in place, it could be great. So I guess in summary, kind of to answer that question, like if you're seeing that things are lacking in your area, then you just have to have a brain and evaluate your options, man. Like, do you have a resource like that? Is there an academy in your area that's good? Good. If there isn't, then that's not an option. Then go somewhere else.
But on the other side of it, if it's not in your wheelhouse, it's okay. Right. It's okay. Like the thing is, you just continue to develop as a hockey player. Right. Like you just develop. I mean, I'm telling you, I know a lot of people that haven't. I think the people that say the most, like in our comments and stuff like that, are a lot of the times. I'm generalizing, but I think a lot of the people see what they see, but they haven't been to the levels that the facts are the facts. And at the end of the day, you can't hide a good hockey player. You just can't do it. There's so many guys that are free agents or they weren't drafted early in the OHL that they just developed and they continue to do something, or they found a role and they're just really good at it.
Yeah.
They're really good at it.
Alex DeBrincat leading the NHL right now.
Yeah. Well, you know? Yeah, that's huge. Well, I just look at like, I don't like to give them all the credit in the world, but the London Knights, they always find a guy or two or three that come in and people go, where the hell is this guy from? They do their job. They go out and they find guys all over the place to find something that fits their team. And all of a sudden, like it was Jacob Julian last year that was playing Junior B. I don't know his history, right? But he was, I don't know if he played AAA or if he didn't or whatever, but he played U18, I believe it was. Junior B, whatever. And then they called him up in the middle of the, like for some games. And by the middle of the year, he was a regular on the London Knights, and then he got drafted in the whatever to Winnipeg. And a lot of people, oh, where'd he come from? Like, who is this guy? It's like, he's just a good hockey player, man. And he did his thing for a long time. He didn't get caught up on, I'm way behind, I'm way ahead. He just did his thing, and he got an opportunity, capitalized, because they found a role for him, and he's a good hockey player. He got drafted in the National Hockey League. So it's like, it's not, you don't have to play for the best team, best league, best winger, best this. And this is the other thing is, you know, very, very funny. I know I'm way off topic here, but I'm going to give anybody that's actually listening, I really want you to hear this. Is I think I want you to find a role for yourself. Don't find something that you can do better than anybody else, or work hard at, or find a niche, because like at the National Hockey League level, at the junior college, whatever, it's a guy that has a good niche in something, niche, whatever the word is, you will get looked at. Like, for example, you might be a horrible hockey player, horrible, but you get 11 hits a game, like pretty good hits. I'm not saying running around like an idiot, or maybe you do, but you get 11 hits a game, 10 hits a game, but you don't seem like you're the best player. at least I know what you do. Seriously. Right? You're a very chocolate important. Chip in the vanilla
yes.
ice cream.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So now if I know what you could do, it's like, okay, well, if he does that, I wouldn't mind a guy like that on my team, but maybe a better player. Well, but if he's willing to do that, maybe I can make him a better player. Maybe I give him a chance. Maybe we look at him in camp, right? Or if it's a guy that is you're looking and you're not, maybe you're really small, but you're really fast and you can just get pucks in and you can get the first touch on a puck and get it deep. That doesn't sound like too exciting, eh? Right? Or you go to the net every time in the offensive zone. Or you're the best back checker every freaking game. It's like, I know what this kid does. I know what he does. It's not just a kid blending in. So I would say, like, so if you take a kid at, so let's just dumb it down here for a kid that's 14 years old and you just haven't cracked a triple A team yet. But if he's playing like a double A level at 14 and he is the absolute best back checker you've ever seen, you might get a look.
Yep. 100%.
Right.
Well, I think I'm going to finish up on this. Yeah. I know we were kind of like all over the place a little bit because we're just like kind of yapping about some ideas about this stuff. But I think the moral of the story for me is going back to what I talked about at the start, like parents being super concerned about the gaps, right? When do I jump like double A to triple A or A to double A to triple A, whatever? Or like, how do we address like the development problem? Like what coach do I go, look, just relax, man. Just relax. Like, it's okay. You say it, we say it all the time. It's like, there's no decision that's going to be so consequential, man. There's none. There's not one decision that's going to be so consequential, provided you're being a reasonable person, you know? So you make best decisions you can with what you have, with where you are, with the circumstances that are around you. Make the best decision you can with what you have. It's okay. Like, it's going to be okay. Because at the end of the day, to your point, your kid is going to dictate what happens. That is at the end of the day, what happens every time, every kid, in almost every situation, find the exception, cite it, whatever. In general, that's what happens, you know? I remember another conversation is just like, I was talking to somebody the other day about, you know, the idea of like, you have to play at the highest level. Actually, it was that agent I was talking to. And we were actually talking about, I used the example of, you mentioned Gibby in one of our last episodes where he went and played a junior A, like a lower level junior A league, still junior A. And went up there and teared it up. Like because he could play. He got to play. You know, so whether you're A, double A, triple A, whatever, like go where you're going to get the most opportunity, but go where you're going to play, man. It doesn't have to be the highest level. It doesn't have to be the sexy team. It doesn't have to be the academy that's the best. It doesn't have to be any of those things, you know, because the kid is going to dictate if they go and play well, and you can't hide the good hockey player. You know, I think that's what I wanted to kind of finish on as a moral of the story, because we went a lot of different places, but that's kind of what I want to have as a leave off. It's like, yeah, there's differences. Yeah, there's going to be gaps, all that stuff, but just like chill, man. Like just chill. So I don't know if you have anything else you want to finish on or good to cap it off there.
I can.
You know, it's up to you. So I don't care.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Here you go.
So this is a personal, not personal, like I'm telling everyone a secret. This is a personal look, right? Like, so you've been with me on the, call it this wonderful journey of hockey. Yeah. With Charlie, right? Like, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Have you ever looked at where I was like freaking out?
If I can be honest.
I want you to be honest.
I have never once ever in Charlie is 17 years old since he was in diapers. I knew Charlie since he was in diapers. I've never once heard you ever even remotely go over the top about anything to do with your kid playing hockey. Not even once. And that's like 100% honest, no bullshit. It's like, you've never once given me the optics of like, Jesus, like relax, man. Like never once, never once. You know, you have your proud dad moments. Like that's yeah. what you have.
And I keep I keep that between
you and very two small, people. Yeah.
A very small circle.
Exactly.
Because you're a lot like, and so there, that's a really good point because it's okay to be happy and proud, but it's also very important to be grounded and know that the highs are highs for today. And I think part of it's because I played and all the things that I've been through, but yeah, you're 100% right. And the most concerned, I'm trying to think of the word, the most, when he got to the OHL, that would be my his first year, and I just had to remind myself, like, it's not you, this is him now. This is like because it's the development, like there's a process to it, and it's like everybody wants it faster than it could happen.
Yeah, we
like how thankful
weekend,
am I?
Yeah.
Like how much do I appreciate me? I appreciate me because I knew that if I wasn't grounded, my kid would either hate me right now, not hate me, but just be like, I don't want to talk to you about it. Or I would have made his journey, if I want to call it that. It's not a freaking journey. It's just, I'm using like terms that I would never use. I'm trying to sound like a little wuss, but, the process, it is what it is. It's up to him. And if I would have pulled him aside and you got to do this. And it would be nuts. I can't get concerned about it. Like the process is, once he got to that level, because he always did it before, the process is you have the best coaches that not money can buy. You have the best coaching. You have a person that's been an NHL coach that cares, that wants the best for you and the team, and it's professionally run and it's great. And every coach he's had so far is, you know, they've played in the NHL. They have experience. It's like they have you now. Like this is the process. Is you have to let go. And there's times where you just want to say, like every other dad, if you just give them a chance. But why should they? And I, you know, we had this conversation when people say some things about it. Said, yeah, he earned everything he had, and that's the way you want it to be, right? But he had to do it. And you know what? Like him moving forward, I watch it. I enjoy it. I absolutely, you know it. I love.
We just talked about it on the weekend,
I love
man.
It. I just love it.
Standing
I love
there watching. You're
yeah,
constantly,
I love watching.
Like, God, it's nice watching him go over the boards.
Yeah.
It's just
but,
nice.
But not only him. Like, I love watching the team. Like, I watch, you know, whoever it is, Potsy, like that evolution of what a player he become. Like, I love watching that because it was like just, it's the process. And as a parent, you're not going to change it. The only thing you do is be the best support. And you're going to have your moments where you're like, I just wish, you know, whatever. But it's a process. And if you let that process happen and let the kids do it, you know, because they can do it. If they want to do it, they're going to do it. I'm not saying they're going to play in the NHL, but the process, they're going to figure it out, and they have to. And you can't solve all their problems for them. They have to do it themselves. And the growing of the human and the hockey player, it's like, it's awesome. And as a parent, like, so I'm glad you said that. Like, not once have you seen me lose my shit. I don't get mad at him. Like, it's the only thing I would ever say to him is, like, you have to figure this out. This is, you have to figure it out, right? This is problem solving. It's like, I think that's my takeaway from that is, or my giveaway to that is that getting to near the end of anything that I can do for my son, I've never pushed him. He's just worked hard. And I'm saying that for most kids. I'm using my story for sakes. Is he's figured it out and I get to enjoy it. And like, if you can just learn to enjoy it and not worry about every little thing. Because like in the OHL, like you could have worried about he missed a shot. Oh, he bobbled the puck. You could snap. You can't give him shit. It's like a process. It's just the process. And if you let the process happen, you have, you know, you don't call your agent every 5 minutes because something went wrong. And you don't call the coach an idiot because you didn't agree with him. Like, you don't know what's going on. Just watch. Just watch. And if you let your kid live, play, work hard, send him on his own, like do your thing, honestly, you'll enjoy it at the end of the day. I love watching my kid play hockey. I love watching the Guelph Storm play hockey. I love watching kids that I train playing at whatever level they're at, like in the OHL, college, whatever. I love it. I enjoy it. But I can honestly say I love it. And that's my advice. It's just please, 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 as parents, just enjoy it. There's going to be the coach that you want to kill. I'm talking youth hockey, like youth. You're going to say, this guy's an idiot. We need to get out of here. It's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. As a dad, it's like, where can you, like, there's a problem. If you think it's a problem, how do we fix it? Right? Be a better teammate. Play for your team. Find the thing that'll make you a better player. Like, those are the things the kids need to hear. Not, screw this shit. We're out of here. We're playing somewhere else. You just showed him, excuse me, I think I'm getting a cold. When you do that, you just showed your kid that there's ways out of struggle. There's ways out when things aren't good and you need to get out. You know what I mean? So that's what I would say is like that's the best support you can be as a parent. It's like, stick to it, man.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Okay. I don't have anything else to say, so good for you.
Yeah, good for me. Yeah, good for you.
Good for you. Okay, that was fun. That was a fun talk.
It was fun.
We were buzzing. We liked that. I like that topic.
I liked it.
Hey, Bjorn, how you doing?
Hey, Bjorn. All right. That's all. I'll see you guys next week. Goodbye.